Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to NABLIC Talks. This is NABLIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We are the voice of Black women in construction, and we welcome you to our show this morning. We definitely invite you to visit our website, www.nablic.org. There, you will find more information about NABLIC and what we're up to. You'll also have the opportunity to join our email list and also consider becoming a part of NABLIC, nationwide and growing every day. This morning's conversation will be with Ms. Marsha Webb, or Mrs. Marsha Webb, out of Orange, New Jersey. Marsha has been a tax professional for well over 20 years, helping business and businesses clear up and make sure that their taxes are done accurately and correctly. And I'm so proud to have her on the show this morning. So if you are near another phone where you can send a text or give a call, if you know of others that would benefit from listening in to the show, whether or not they're in the construction industry or in a related field or in business, this would be the perfect show for them. So we want to just jump into the conversation, but keep in mind that towards the end of the conversation, we will definitely open it up for questions. So if you are near your desk and you're able to write down notes or questions as we go through this conversation, please do. Therefore, at the end of the conversation, just go ahead and press 1 and make a comment or ask a question to help enhance the show. With that said, I definitely want to say good morning and welcome Marsha Webb to our show this morning. Good morning, Marsha.
Good morning, Rachel. It's fantastic to be here.
Awesome. You know, Marsha, we definitely want to thank you for taking time out to be a part of this show and really for what you're doing across the country, helping businesses and small businesses and home-based businesses learn more about how they can better keep track of their taxes, how they can better take advantage of the tax advantages that are available to them, and just making sure that they're on track in that area. So all that you do with your business and also with education is greatly needed, and I'm definitely proud to have you on the show this morning. I want you to know that this morning you'll be talking to women who have their own businesses, many of them in the construction industry or in related fields. Many of them have offices, employees, and everything that goes along with that. And so I kind of just want to open up by you kind of getting into why it's so important to have a tax professional, because many of our women in business, they definitely already have lawyers and already have accountants and already have certain employees, or they're outsourcing professionals in many areas. Why is it important to have someone who focuses on taxes and business taxes?
Great question, Rachel. And I just want to start out by saying, you know, I'm definitely honored to be among such a prestigious group of women on the call today. It actually makes my heart rejoice when I think about, you know, women in business and the things that we're doing to empower ourselves today. So I just want to congratulate each and every single one of you. But you raise a very interesting question, Rachel, in regards to the professionals who are handling our finances. You know, when it comes to our health, we tend to spend time, we ask for recommendations, we get second opinions. But unfortunately, we don't always treat our finances that way, you know, especially us as women. And so it's extremely important because it's such a huge area. And when you talk about being in business for yourself, especially the construction business, you know, there's so much that goes into the preparation of your financials. You know, so sometimes what we find is, especially if we're a small business, maybe one, two, or three people, we may decide there's things we want to do ourselves. That's the most common, I find. We want to do it ourselves in order to save money, but in the interim, what we end up doing is we hurt ourselves as opposed to just outsourcing certain things that we can pay a nominal fee for while we concentrate our energies on the things that allow us to make more money. And so it's extremely important for one to, A, have that professional and not be the type that says, well, I'm going to get it done myself. I know how to do this. And secondly, make sure that you interview that professional. Make sure that person understands the nature of your business, the ins and outs of your business. What I find is you'll find a lot of accountants, CPAs, tax preparers, whatever, who are willing to do your taxes, okay? You'll bring them your paperwork, and they're willing to do your taxes, but it really stops there. There's no education to the client. And so that's my expertise. That's where I come in. I'm extremely passionate about educating the client so that they're doing the things that they need to do all year long to maximize their tax deductions, especially for us business owners. There's so many things that we can do that often we're not aware of, and you send your papers to the accountant, they really don't know the ins and outs of your business. They prepare what you've given them, but I always like to say garbage in, garbage out. You know, so if what you've done in your preparation isn't up to par, then, of course, they can't do the best that they can for you. So you really need to have some conversation, you know, with that professional to make sure that they understand you, understand your business, understand the things that go along with being in construction and being a woman business owner. That way you can take full advantage of all the deductions that are available to you.
Awesome, Marcia. You know, as you speak, a question that comes to mind is, you know, what would you think is a major difference between an accountant and a tax professional? I mean, I'm sure that some accountants are well able to prepare taxes, but would you say that all of them are understanding and staying abreast with the tax code, especially as it relates to business, the way that a business tax professional would?
Yeah, there's a huge difference, Rachel. The same way there's a difference from a ear, nose, and throat doctor versus a heart surgeon. You know, you wouldn't go to your primary care physician to perform a transplant. You know, so the same is true in our field, where there are those who specialize in what they do. The tax code is so vast, not one single person, including the people who wrote it, can tell you that they know everything there is to know. And that's why you have individuals who go into specialties, maybe the entertainment field, maybe real estate, maybe construction, maybe home-based business. You know, so it's really, really important that you're not just seeing someone who is labeled an accountant, labeled a tax professional, labeled a CPA, but is not familiar with your line of business. That's extremely important because they just simply cannot do the best job for you because they're not well-versed in that.
Wow, you know, and I think that's something that I've had to learn the hard way and that we really, really have to pay attention to. How important is it for your tax preparer to be kind of in alignment with you as it relates to your approach to the taxes, your aggressiveness or your, you know, how important is it to make sure that your tax preparer is on the same page that you're on?
You absolutely have to be on the same page. Just for the simple reason that so many people don't understand what goes into the preparation of tax, and in the event of an audit, you may not know that your preparer is super aggressive and you're more of a conservative. And, you know, I've had some people say, well, I'd just rather leave that out, you know, because they really don't understand, you know, that their contributions are deductible and what it means, you know, depending on what their tax bracket is. And so you need to be on the same page because in the event of an audit, you know, oftentimes you'll be there. It's not necessary if your EA or tax preparer is there and they have power of attorney for you, but you'll be there, and agents, IRS agents have gotten a very, very smart these days in the line of questioning, the way they ask you questions, and you're just innocently answering, but yet it's not in harmony with what that tax return looks like. So, again, that needs to be a relationship. It can't just be a fly-by-night open 3 months out of the year, especially with you being a business owner, because as business owners, there's certain things that you need to do as well. If you need to get a loan, a construction loan or whatever type of loan, they're going to ask for profit and loss statements. Okay, so who's doing that? Is someone else taking care of profit and loss statements? Do you not have them? Do you have to, like, scramble and get them together at this point? Or what about quarterly tax payments? Are you making your quarterly estimated tax payments, or are you paying penalties the following year simply because you've made no deposits? You know, are you issuing 1099s? Does your preparer know that, hey, I've got day laborers that I picked up outside of Home Depot, you know, and I pay them cash, and when I give him, when I tally up the funds that I pay for labor, you know, I give him that number, but he has no idea that I'm paying cash to these individuals. I don't have Social Security numbers. Or maybe I do, but I'm not issuing them a 1099. And then you find out, hey, I spent $100,000 paying laborers, and in the event of an audit, you've not 1099 anybody, you don't have any Social Security numbers, nothing, guess what? That whole $100,000, they can dismiss that, and that's no longer a tax deduction for you. So you need to be on the same page, because ultimately it can cost you thousands, and depending on your business, how large your business is, how long you're going to be in business, it can ultimately cost you millions.
Wow. You know, when you bring up the conversation about laborers, that's something that's very common in the construction industry, especially for those ladies that are doing business out in the field, that are actually, you know, doing, I guess, the physical side of construction. How important is it, or what are some details that you can give about making sure that your laborers, whether they're transient, whether they're, you know, every day, full time or part time, what are some of the things that you need to know about that 1099 as it relates to the amount of money that you actually pay that one person over the year, or any deadlines that go along with getting the 1099s in so that they will count?
Right, good question. A couple of things you need to know about that. First and foremost, those 1099s, if you want to be able to deduct it on your taxes, then you absolutely need to get full information for the individuals you hire, which means those individuals need to be legally working within this country. Understand, if you're hiring folks who are not, there's no way you can take a deduction for labor for paying someone who's not actually reporting their income on their taxes. The IRS is doing a lot of cross checks. There's going to be, in the next year or so, a lot of information coming out, and there's going to be some changes to the law code that makes 1099 requirements on small and large businesses. Actually, there was a repeal in 2011, and that's why we're not doing that today. But the IRS is really fighting some mandate that anyone you pay $600 or more to, anyone, that could be Staples as a vendor. If you pay them $600 or more, you have to issue them a 1099. The plumber who comes to your house and fix a leak and it's $625, you know, you need to issue them a 1099, because what they're finding is they're losing a lot of money simply because individuals are taking deductions on their taxes, so they're not paying tax on the money, but yet the individual that they're paying is not reporting. And the reason why they're not reporting, they're receiving cash and no one's issuing 1099s. So there's going to be a lot of changes coming up in the very near future, but to cover yourself, one of the things you need to do is be issuing those 1099s. Now, there is a deadline, okay? The deadline was February 20th to issue those 1099s. Actually, you had to issue them by the 31st, but to have the 1096 with the information into the IRS/Social Security by February 20th. Now, that's the deadline. That's the posted deadline. The good news is they have not put together any type of fine or penalty for a person who doesn't get it in on time. So I say that to say you haven't done that yet, and you know you had laborers and you kept track of it, and you do want to issue the 1099s. It's not too late. You want to go ahead and do so, and that will validate any claim on your taxes as far as contract labor.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that so many people are really benefiting. We want to make sure that you share all of your information at the end of the show, because we have many, many ladies that are out in the field right now that don't listen live, but they definitely get on and listen to the archive show. And I'm sure that everything related to this show, I'm sure that the ladies that are listening will spread the word. I want to switch gears, Marcia, for a quick moment and talk about the fact that we are talking about primarily a women's organization. We definitely partner up with other organizations in the construction industry and also in related fields where we do business and have relationships with each other. But the National Association of Black Women in Construction, of course, is mainly primarily a women's organization. And one of the things that are unique to women, well, I won't say unique to women, but many of us have children, you know. And so talk a little bit about how we can involve our children in our business, especially if it's a small firm. What are the age ranges of the children that can participate just doing filing, or maybe you can even talk about a few of the things that our children can do, but the age ranges and the benefits of involving your children in your business.
Wow, awesome. It's interesting you mentioned hiring your children. I'm actually going to be hosting a webinar speaking about that very topic this evening, so I will give you that information, because there's no way in just a couple minutes I can break this down to you the way you need to hear it. But understand that that's one of the largest tax deductions available to business owners. And when you have children over the age of 7, you can hire them in your business. And if they're under age 18, well, guess what? They get to exclude self-employment tax. You don't need to pay it, neither do they. And that's actually phenomenal. When you think about saving for college and weddings and those type of things, I always advise my clients, my business owner clients, that's one of the best things you could do for your kids and for yourself, is to hire them in your business, simply because the lessons that they'll learn and the taxes you'll save on, absolutely astronomical. And so I want to encourage you guys to take advantage of that deduction. Learn what it entails. There are certain things that you need to do, but again, you're able to shelter thousands of dollars per child, you know, and you can hire more than one and put that money up and save that money and not pay taxes, and neither does your child have to. So tonight, actually, Rachel, I'm hosting a webinar at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the registration information is taxes, the number 4HBB, stand for home-based business, hbb.com, and a person can click join the free webinar, join our live free webinar, and get linked up and learn the ins and outs of hiring their children in their business. And again, one of the best things you can do for your family and for your kids is to take advantage of this tax deduction.
Well, let me ask you this as it relates to hiring your children. First off, you said it doesn't matter the number of children that you choose to hire. So you can actually hire 3 or 4 children as long as it's in the in that age range. What was the age range again?
7 through 17. You can hire them older than 17. Mm-hmm. The only thing is they're not shielded from self-employment tax, and neither are you. But as long as they're over 7, you can start hiring those kids in your business.
Awesome. And the other question I wanted to ask quickly as it relates to that is, you're able to do this even if you're able to hire your children even if it's not a home-based business, because most of the people that I know of, and maybe it's because I work my business from home, when they hire their children, it definitely is something that goes along with having a home-based business. But if you have a office outside of the home, you can still hire your children and get the same deduction?
Yes, the answer to that is absolutely.
Okay, and so tonight I just want to repeat, because I'm sure tonight you will give those exact numbers of how much you can deduct per child and maybe some of the details on what you need to have in place to make sure everything is done legally, morally, and ethically. I want everybody to know that we can definitely tune in tonight is this a free webinar, Marcia?
Yes, it is absolutely free.
Definitely. Okay. Well, that's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our focus is how to hire your children and get the best, you know, from that deduction, I guess. And the website is www.taxes4hdb.com, and you're able to click on Join Webinar. So I definitely just wanted to repeat that. What I want to do really briefly, there are a few more things we can discuss, but I want to go over. I want to encourage anyone that wants to jump in with a question or a comment, just go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. If you're listening in from your browser, go ahead and dial 714-459-3918. And then press 1 so that we can open your line for a question or a comment. This morning we're speaking with Mrs. Marsha Webb of Orange, New Jersey, has been doing business taxes for well over 20 years, definitely an expert in the industry and also an educator to businesses in helping them understand how to best prepare their files and how to best take advantage of the tax incentives of being in business. So, Marsha, I'm definitely going to be watching the studio here to see who pops their hand up and has a question. But let's talk a little bit about why you got into education. Why did you think it was important to make sure that business owners and actually just individuals out here that are employees that are paying taxes, why is it important to at minimum have a bit of an elementary education about the tax code and not be 100% dependent upon your accountant or your tax preparer?
That's funny you asked that, Rachel. I saw an interview a number of years ago with Bill Gates, and he was interviewed and he was asked, the question, what's the secret, you know, to his success? And I waited to hear the answer. You know, I wanted to know, was it the brilliant mind? Was it, you know, the software? You know, the secret, was it giving it away for free and making sure they sold every computer with Microsoft? You know, I was anxiously awaiting the answer, and the answer he gave totally surprised me. Although I'm in the industry, he said that the secret to his success was a working knowledge of the tax code. And I thought about it, and I said to myself, wow, you know, Bill Gates, although, you know, making billions of dollars, took enough time out to learn some secrets, if you will, in order to maximize his money. Because, you know, keep in mind that, you know, how much you make is important, but how much of it that you actually keep is even more important. And so if you're overpaying in your taxes on an annual basis, well, you'll never be able to reach your goals. And so after, you know, sitting on that and thinking about that comment, I thought to myself, wow, you know, how much more so, you know, for the individual with a small business or medium-sized business to really get acclimated with the things that they need to do, especially because, you know, you're really responsible for putting the information together that your accountant compiled. You know, it's kind of like, you know, our cars need gas to run. You know, they need to be serviced. You just can't get in and drive, you know, every single day and not do the necessary things, you know, or your car will conk out on you, just like our bodies. We need to, you know, feed it healthy things to get the maximum output. And so the same is true with our finances. And so if, from your standpoint, if the things that you're doing are not to the best in your benefit, it's not going to help once you go see an accountant or professional, because the information that you've compiled is not really enough to do what needs to be done for you. So from that moment, I thought, wow, so many people come and see me, and their stuff is just upside down. They don't get it. They don't understand. And so I took it from just sitting in the office preparing taxes to traveling all over the country and really educating business owners, doing women's events. As a matter of fact, we did a single mom event, Women in Investing, we're doing in 2 weeks. You know, just helping individuals to understand, you know, financially we can be in a very different place if we handle our business, so to speak, and especially handle it from a finance and tax perspective. So that's the main reason why, Rachel, I decided to go into education. Not enough people are doing it. And if they are, it's costing an arm and a leg, and the small business owner can't afford it anyway. And so it's a passion, and it's something that I know I'll continue to do.
Wow, Marcia. You know, again, we're speaking with a ladies' organization, and so I definitely, first of all, I definitely appreciate the education. As women, we definitely have to get stronger. We're definitely in business, but getting stronger and more comfortable with numbers and our finances. And so I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, kind of what that takes. And so there are women that, or people that would kind of have fear. They think it's something more complicated than it really is. And so just talk about maybe some of the things that you just have to get into the habit of tracking, just a couple of the most important things. And then I definitely want to jump right into how to take a tax rebate-free vacation. You know, many of us work so hard, especially having our own business, that we don't get that visit to the spa as often as we should, or we don't get that relaxation vacation. That also, to me, has a lot to do with our overall health and our mental and emotional health. And so I want to definitely dig into that also. Just before we do, I just wanted to kind of plug that so we know the direction we're going in. We do have a question coming in from Jacksonville, Florida. So I want to open the line to NABWIC caller 7528. Caller 7528. Will you go ahead and just become a part of the conversation and ask your question or make your comment?
Good morning. This is Deborah Thompson in Jacksonville with Deborah K. Thompson Consultants. How are you?
Good morning.
My question has to do with the Affordable Health Care Act. Have you any information that you can share about how we make sure that the those that are paying for employees' health care take the deductions, and are there any other kinds of things that we need to know to take care of that? Because I know a lot of us are just paying out of our pockets for things that happen to us in the health care arena.
Well, great question. Absolutely. If you're paying, you're making contributions towards your employee health care, there are rebates that you can qualify for, especially depending on who your employees are, the types of employees, if you're hiring minorities. There are a number of resources available to you, the business owner, but you definitely want to be taking advantage of every dime you spend out of pocket, as well as taking advantage of the credits that are available. Actually, we could do another 30 minutes on this line talking about that. Just one thing to keep in mind, and for those of you who are self-employed, I just want to give out this tidbit because there is an update to the self-employment tax rule, and this primarily goes out to that one-man show or that two-man show where you don't necessarily have employees, you're not paying their benefits, but you are paying your medical benefits and that of one or two employees. Unfortunately, self-employment tax is now imposed on that money. So, for instance, if last year in 2010 you spent $10,000 on health insurance for yourself and employee health insurance, what ends up happening is what used to happen is that whole $10,000 is shielded from federal tax as well as self-employment tax, which is Social Security and Medicare. So you'd save whatever your effective tax rate is, if it's 15% or 25%, but in addition, you'd save the 15.3% on self-employment tax. That is no longer the case. The IRS is imposing self-employment tax on that, so you may see a shift. If things don't change from year to year, basically, if your numbers remain the same, you may see a difference in what you either owe or what you're receiving as a refund simply because of that change. So I just kind of did want to put that out there because that is something new for 2012, or 2011, I should say. But as far as medical goes, there's so many different programs. Folks, you really have to do your research because depending on the type of business that you're in, the number of employees that you have, the wrong benefit could be costing you more from a tax aspect as well. So that's something that maybe we can discuss offline. I'll give out my information, and I can advise in that arena as well.
Oh, thank you, Deborah. And definitely, Marcia, we definitely have to get to where you give your information. We start winding down here right at about 8:30, but I definitely want to suggest maybe in the coming weeks that you do a show on that kind of focuses on employee benefits and health benefits, because that is definitely a major concern, and we don't want business owners to ignore making sure that they are covered as it relates to health care. And so they need to know how to best cover themselves. And also some of the other things that they can add to their talk a little bit about some of the things you can add to your maybe your health program in your business that maybe people don't realize, like gym memberships and things of that nature, that they can include into, you know, their health program at their business so that those things are tax deductible also.
I'm sorry. Okay. I think I'm with you now. Definitely, Rachel, there are a slew of deductions available to us as business owners. And the more we familiarize ourselves, the better we're going to be. There are certain things that, keeping in mind a tax deduction has to be something that's ordinary and necessary in your line of business. So what's ordinary and necessary for me may not be ordinary and necessary for you. So one of the things that I like to share when teaching on this matter is just almost anything could be tax deductible if you include it around your, if you include your business in it. You know, just about anything personal we can do for ourselves, if we do it along with our business or with expanding our business in mind, then that can potentially be tax deductible. So like a trip to the spa, you know, can become tax deductible. A gift, I think a lot of times in different businesses, we tend to give, you know, gifts or promotional items. You know, one tidbit is a gift can only be deducted. The maximum per gift is $25, right? And it's only one gift per year. And you might say to yourself, well, wow, 25, you know, I spent, you know, $100 on this gift, or I spent, you know, $50 on this gift or something like that. But one of the tricks to the trade basically is you can actually give the gift of entertainment. And when you give the gift of entertainment, that's 50% tax deductible. And what I mean by the gift of entertainment is sports tickets or Broadway show tickets or anything in that has to do with meals and entertainment, it's now 50%. So if you spent $200 on that, you get a $100 deduction. You know, it's a little trick for the trade like that. Traveling, I know you mentioned that, Rachel, you know, and I love that because, you know, you may be going out to a conference for one or two days, but maybe it's a location that you truly love and you want to be able to write off the whole thing even though you're going to have a little fun. Well, as long as more than 50% of your time is spent on business, that is tax deductible to you. So if the conference is on a Monday, you know, head out on a Friday, and the weekends count. Whenever your weekends are included in your travel day for business, they count as a business day. So you easily make that trip more than 50%. And listen to this, there's 24 hours in a day, but as long as you're doing business for 4 hours, that's considered a business day. So you may get up from 9 to 1 and go to a conference. That's 4 hours. That's a business day. The rest of your day is spent on your vacation or whatever it is that you're doing. Guess what? You know, that's a business day, so your airline tickets would count, your meals for that day would count, your entertainment for that time period would count. So, again, just making sure that we're tracking all of these things, because I think that's where many of us drop the ball. You know, we're doing it, we kind of understand it a little bit, but then we're not tracking it. We're not keeping our receipts, or we're not using one credit card or one debit card for business, which helps with the accounting nightmare of a business that, you know, every day you've got various receipts. Number of things we could be doing. You want to be tracking your miles for your vehicle. You know, a lot of people say, well, I have a car 100% dedicated for business. It's got my sign of my business on it. But the IRS still requires a written record. You know, so even if you have more than one vehicle, the vehicle you're using for business, you still need to track where you go for business. You know, so keeping track. So your documentation, extremely, extremely important. And along with that, you know, a home office, depending on whether or not you're working from home for your business, or even if you have an office outside of your home, where is the bulk of your administrative duties being held at? If the bulk of that, you're doing that at home after hours because during the day you're seeing clients, you're visiting sites, whatever the case may be, then you kind of get a double deduction. You get to deduct the office that you pay rent for, as well as certain expenses related to your home, like electricity, like gas, like water, like rent, like mortgage interest and repairs and all that good stuff. So just a whole slew of things available to us. Just got to make sure that we stay on top of them.
Wow. Well, Marcia, I'm sure that everyone listening definitely appreciates the information right there. And you definitely said a mouthful, and all of that are things that all of those things are things that we all can relate to in business. And of course, one of the things I hear said all the time is documentation beats conversation every day of the week. And so if we just write things down in a simple composition book and on a simple legal pad, if you don't have the QuickBooks and all these different things, just having some type of documentation so that at minimum you remember just puts you in a better position to give the information over to your tax professional. One of the things that I do, Marcia, is we just go ahead and we just write everything down. Everything down, and we allow the tax preparer to help us understand which things we can deduct, which things we can't, and the things that we can't, how we will be able to deduct those things next time, what is it that we have to do around or surrounding that particular receipt to make that receipt fully or at least partially tax deductible. So I definitely thank you for your information this morning. I want you to please share the information, and we do have one other question. Just before we go into that question, in case we have people that do need to leave the line, please share your information, and I will post that on the site here where people are going to go watch the show, listen to the show archive. But your business information, how do you handle, are you, can you do business in all, every state in the country? How do you handle maybe long-distance clients? The listeners go ahead and access you and take advantage of your vast depth of knowledge in this area. Take it over, Marcia.
Thank you so much, Rachel. I will share that information. Probably 60 to 70% of my clientele is out of state simply because I educate all across the country. And so I have a very personal relationship with many of my clients. And, yes, I am certified to prepare taxes and do, you know, finances, payroll, profit and loss statements, you know, C-Corps, S-Corps, LLCs, whatever the case may be, for all 50 states. So, yes, that's something that we can handle. I'm physically located. My offices are in Bloomfield, New Jersey, and most of my clients simply either FedEx their package, especially my business clients, since their packages are typically a little bit larger than the average person, FedEx their package to me, or they actually just email me, scan and email their documents to me. That's another thing that they typically will do, or fax their information over to me. So those are the three methods that we use. Let me give you my information. My office number is 973-707-5274. Again, that's 973-707-5274. That's my office number. My email address, which is a great way to reach me, is info@newcenturyincometax.com. So you can email me your questions as well. And definitely, I want to encourage everyone to listen to the webinar tonight at Taxes, and you can register at Taxes, T-A-X-E-S, 4HBB.com, and just click on Join Webinar. So all of those ways you can contact me, and I'll be happy to help. I just, again, it is my passion to help business owners, women in business, so I look forward to working with some of you.
Awesome. Well, Marcia, we definitely want to open the line for
our founder of NABWIC. So we're going to go ahead and open the line and have Ms. Ann McNeil come in with her question or comment. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder, building stronger and better lives, and I'm really enjoying this show, Marcia. I just have one question, and that is, what are your thoughts about, you talked about hiring our youth, but what about signing them up early for their retirement once we hire them?
Oh, my goodness. I love you, Ann. I am very adamant about that. I want to share a statistic with you. This is something that when I talk about IRAs and I do my Women in Investing seminar, that is absolutely the best thing you can do for your child. The great part about hiring your children, right, in your business is that you don't necessarily have to pay them. And when I say that, I mean, and I'll cover this on my webinar in detail tonight, but you actually would set up an account with you and that child, and the money, the paycheck would actually go into the account. And they're not really authorized to take anything out without your authorization. And so I encourage individuals, listen, if you need that money in order for them to live, okay, fine. You know, you put $5,000 in an account, there's $5,800 that's tax deductible to you and that they're shielded from tax on an annual basis. So let's just say you're able to pay them that $5,800. Now, if you need that money in order to live, okay, fine. So that's where when it's time to pay for their school clothes, when it's time to pay for dance lessons and karate and piano, you know, you take the money out of that account. But the most ideal thing that you can do is to take those funds and to put them in a retirement account. You know, if you did that for 10 years, if you started when your child was 7 and you put $5,000 a year into an account for 10 years, that child by age 6,
Hey, Ann, are you there? Ann, are you there? Did we lose you or did we lose Marcia?
Can you hear me?
Oh, my goodness. Ann, we lost you. I mean, Marcia, we lost you. The last thing we heard was, wow, we lost you. That's such a great part. You said, if you put the $5,000 away for 10 years from age 7 to 17, when the child turns 65, that would be, and then we lost you right there.
Okay. So, yeah, that was a good part to lose, huh? All right. So, if did that at the average rate of return over the last 50 years, that income would be well over $2 million, Rachel, and only for 10 years. Only for 10 years. If you stopped at 17 and you just let the money sit there, over the rate of return over the last 50 years, understanding that, yes, some years they're up, some years they're down, you'd have over $2 million. So sometimes we wonder how the rich stay rich when it looks like they continue to spend their money, but they set themselves up and they set their children up so that they can have generational wealth. So it has to start somewhere. And if our grandparents didn't do it and our parents didn't do it, the question is, are we going to do it, and are we going to teach our children to do the same with their children? So
now, Marcia, can you hear me? This is Ann McNeil. Can you hear me, Marcia?
I can hear you.
Okay, I just want to encourage everybody listening to the show and those people who will listen to the archive shows that what you're saying our family actually did with my youngest daughter, Ione McNeil, who has since branded herself as a baby billionaire, and she started with that time value of money chart and actually started her Roth IRA at age 12. And did exactly what you're saying. But I want to just make sure, though, that I impress upon our NABWIC members that we really need to partner with you offline, because this is what we are all about as the National Association for Black Women in Construction, and educating ourselves first and our families in the community as relates to growing our wealth, because you know, we get these contracts and we work for the money, but we really don't understand how to make the money work for us. So I just want to just end that by saying we really appreciate your educating us this morning, and we could not pay for this information. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anne, for having me.
Wow. Thank you, Marsha. Well, let's go ahead and wind down. Great note to end on. I definitely want to remind everyone tonight at 10 p.m., you are to go over to Taxes, the number 4, HBB. Tonight's show, Taxes for HBB.com, and go ahead and register for tonight's webinar, which is going to actually focus on hiring your children in your business and how to best take advantage of the monies that you're able to shelter and set aside and how to set that all up. And so we definitely thank you, Marsha, for being the woman that you are, the businesswoman that you are, the educator that you are, and just being as authentic as you are and as sincere, because it's definitely making a difference nationwide. And we are definitely going to promote this show so that people can watch it, listen to it archived, and we definitely look forward to having you on again, and also maybe doing something live at the next Women of Wealth event, or we'll organize something where we can have, like Ann said, the business women in, the community in, just however we can help people learn how to start off small and get going with saving and understanding how to best take advantage of where they fit with their tax situation. So I definitely want to thank you for being on the show. We will post all of Marsha's information so people can reach out to her with questions, maybe consider being a client. She definitely can serve every state in the country, and she does well with doing that. And so, Marsha, I just want to kind of turn it over to you for a couple of closing comments as our ladies get out there and get on with their day.
Thank you, Rachel. Wow, what an awesome, awesome call. What a great way to start our day, ladies, really thinking about our finances and thinking about our families and our futures. Some interesting statistics I was reading about women is that we tend to outlive men by about 6 years, I believe, and we're outliving our money as well. And so just as Ann mentioned before, you know, today we talk mainly about taxes, but in the sense where the tax savings helps us to build our wealth. So we need to find out alternative ways besides just working for the money and having that money work for us. So I was truly, truly thrilled to be here today, and I'd love to come back and maybe even discuss some different topics about financing and investing. So I look forward to Rachel being on the call again. And ladies, have a prosperous day and a fantastic week.
Awesome. Thank you, Marsha, and thanks to all of our listeners for hanging in there a few extra minutes. But the show just got so packed with valuable information that we couldn't just cut it off. So with that said, we want you to continue to spread the word about NABWIC and what NABWIC is up to. This is the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We are the voice of Black Women in Construction, and we are here every single Wednesday morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, interviewing a phenomenal guest that will help you in your life or in your business or both. So with that said, lastly, we invite you to go by our website, www.nabwic.org. There you will have the opportunity to learn more about the organization. You will also have the opportunity to join the email list to get all of the information on upcoming calls and upcoming shows and things that are going on in the industry, and also consider becoming a part of this nationwide organization. Start a chapter where you live so that women can come together, especially women in construction and related fields, to help inspire and encourage each other in this male-dominated industry. With that said, this is Rachel Moore signing off from the beautiful Miami, Florida. Look forward to listening and hearing from each and every one of you again next Wednesday morning at 8:30 a.m. Have an amazing, very, very blessed day. Good morning.